Okay, can you hear me? All right, so here we are, Dark City. So did everybody get a chance to watch it? Yay! That's so neat to see Jacqueline and Connie there on the couch. That's really cool. Hey, Connie. Hey, Jacqueline. George. Hey, Tony. Lynn. Yeah, Regina did let me know that she did not see the movie. This is, I think, the first time that she's not done that because of, you know, the retreat and whoa. Hold on just a minute. That was crazy. That had to have been an 80 mile an hour wind. Yeah, there's a severe lightning storm going on right outside. Yeah, would you shut the door? If the whole house just suddenly seems to go up into the air, you know, this is I'm okay with that, you know, given the movie group with my friends here. It's a good time. All right, yeah, big storm. So here we go. All right, this was Dark City. I love this movie. You know, some people find this movie on the dark side, but then again, the name Dark is in the title of the film. And in our spiritual awakening, we cannot be afraid to look at the dark, not to wallow in it or to get depressed, but to look at it, however that may occur, you know, if that's fine if that occurs, but to let it be, let it move through you and identify it as false and identify with the truth. So, question number one on the play sheet. Well, first of all, does anyone have anything they want to say about the overall movie? Before we start to... Oh, cool. It's a thunderstorm. God blessed our group. Great. The earth is moving as we have our Dark City discussion group. So, okay, if not, we're going to go to question one. What does the symbol of the city always being dark and that no one can remember the light daytime symbolize in your view? Oh, my goodness.
Cheryl has her hand up.
Hey, Cheryl, go for it.
Well, I watched the movie almost twice. The first time I watched it, I really did struggle with what the heck is going on. Like, you know, I just saw a lot of different storylines going on, and I thought it was really bizarre. I took that comment from Jacqueline weeks ago when it was first announced. I remember she said, she made a comment on the board saying, this is a bizarro movie, but, you know, watch it. It's worth watching. And anyway, so when I looked at this question, all of that came up for me is ego-limited thinking. You know, the symbol of dark, meaning there's only one way to go about something, so you have very limited, you know, it's like you have the blinders on and you have no way of looking at things differently. Letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you for that, and also thank you, Cheryl, for overcoming your aversion to the movie. You know, obviously it was a dislike that was triggered in you, and you overcame that to give the movie a second chance, and I'm glad you're there with Shauna to watch it too, but I think that's a good insight. Does anyone else have any insights?
Tony had her hand up.
Oh, Tony, go ahead.
I am not particularly drawn to sci-fi movies, and my intention was to watch it at least once without, and just pay attention without having the notes in front of me or the questions in front of me, so I could just pick up on things. And to be honest, I was going to try and watch it again so I could sit and be with the questions, but that never happened. So, but what I did see is I want to share with you on the forum for the Movie Watchers group, there was Manuela actually wrote in some of her answers, and she's not going to be able to be present for this discussion group.
I'm planning to read those as part
of the... Oh, you're going to read them. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. That's good. I'm glad you will. Okay, good. All right. That's really all I wanted to say is I did watch the movie. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would because, as I said, I mean, even when I was a kid, watching Alice in Wonderland was just so bizarre to me that I couldn't make any sense out of it. And I think I had a little bit of a difficulty trying to understand this movie, too. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
I'm just going to pop right on in there. I can't raise my hand. So For me, the first question was, the darkness represents our state of mind when we're not letting what we truly are be. In other words, the awareness. Awareness represents light. So obviously the ego, or the unawakened state of mind, is darkness. So everyone there represents the mind that is asleep, that doesn't even know it's asleep. It hasn't even started the questioning or inquiry process of like, hey, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? They haven't even realized that the sun went away. They don't even realize it's constantly dark. And that's another layer of darkness. So darkness is any time the mind is unawakened, letting go.
Yeah, thank you, Dawn. Yeah, Sean, I'm actually feeling the house move. Are you feeling that? Sorry to be a little distracted here, guys, but it's sort of a severe weather situation.
There's you're dreaming, okay? You're dreaming of the house moving.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, good point.
I'm in hurricane country, so I know what it's like to have the house shake.
You might wake up in the land of Oz.
You guys aren't helping.
I already said that.
Okay, so Manuela shares, the darkness represents the ego world, the illusionary world. Nothing in the dark makes sense, and it always changes. Here, no one remembers the daylight. The light or daylight represents Shell Beach, the source. Shell Beach is a symbol of the self, awareness, existence, the source. The dark illusionary world concealed Shell Beach. Everyone knows of this place, yet they know they have been there and came from this place, but they don't remember it. They know it has an inner knowing, a recognition. When they go to it, look for it, or to recall, then they just don't know where it is. It is reduced to a distant memory, but really a distant inner knowing. The opening sentence says, first there was darkness, but it came to something, to some place, and something was there to witness it. The darkness is like attention, being a movement away from the source of light, stretching out toward objects and experiences into the world of duality. Beautiful, Manuela. Thank you for sharing. I share the overall condition of ignorance that we are in while in the dream state, which is darkness. Hold on just one second. Yeah, there's a little door to the roof or to the attic that keeps opening and closing. Like there's a ghost in the house. Okay. I like what she wrote here, and everybody kind of contributed to the same thought. One thing that Manuela pointed out here was that it was a distant memory. Like, remember when John Murdoch asked the inspector Bumstead, do you ever remember when it was daytime? Hey man, do you remember? Like he confronted him with that question directly. And the inspector was like, you know, like he got confused, right? Like it was a distant memory. So that was kind of cool. Okay. It's like trying to meditate in a war zone. Okay. What in your view overall do the strangers in trench coats symbolize, and their mission or need to understand what make people human? Does anyone want to share the answer to that? Jacqueline, are you coming to the mic?
Well, I was actually just going to type something in, but obviously in broad strokes, they are, they represent ego. Right. And ego is always asking the same question. The only real question, but ego asks it as well. What am I? And that's what they're trying to figure out as they're looking for the human soul. They're trying to ask that or answer that same question. That's it. Thank you. Hey, everybody.
Hey. Awesome. Awesome insight. It's anyone else?
Connie.
Yeah. Who am I? Connie. Oh, Connie. Yes, please. From across the room. Sorry to make you get up, Connie. Sorry.
I think they're also, they're trying to extend their existence. And of course, ego is always worried about non-existence.
Yeah, my too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. George, or is it, who else? Did George have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, basically I was going to say the same thing Connie did. They were searching, just like the ego is searching for a way to survive. They were searching for a way to survive. But
yeah, they did have kind of a desperate vibe, didn't they? Like it was, yeah, like you guys are talking about, like gotta survive somehow. Manuela answers, the strangers in coats came from the darkness. They were as old as time itself. So they appeared together with the notion of time. They thought themselves a higher intelligent race. They had mastered the ultimate technology, the ability to alter physical reality by will alone. They called this ability tuning, where they rearrange illusions. But they also carried their own story based on death and the world. They believed themselves mortal. They were seekers of knowledge, but distorted knowledge. They symbolized the separation of the ego-thinking mind as the status of God-misguided intellect. They were symbolized by the clone-like white and black thinking types, either male adults or male child, which is mistaken innocence. Well, they have names such as Mr. Hand, Mr. Book, Mr. Wall, Mr. Rain, Mr. Sleep, all concepts and symbols within the world of thinking-controlled intellect, naming, categorizing, labeling. I think it was Mr. Book, that was the one imprinted with John's memories, said that, actually that was Mr. Hand imprinted with John's memories, said that Mr. Book was the head guy, the older dude, said that, quote, we use your dead as vessels. The doctor towards the end of the movie explains that the strangers are after the capacity for individuality and souls, and they have the collective memories, one group mind, they control everything and they can't stand the light. They are total ignorance mechanism. Wow, that was really clear and insightful, Manuela. I have written here, trying to find meaning in the meaningless. No matter how many experiences we have and memories we imprint through experiences onto our mind, we will never discover anything except our desire for more experience until we ask who's the I that wants this experience and look behind it. Because it just, to me, seemed like they had at one point showed this conveyor belt of love notes and memories and pictures, and they were literally just manufacturing these endless combinations of experiences to try to put people in all these different scenarios to try to find that this what makes you human. And that's what I came to, is our desire for experience is just going to bring us more experience. And there's, you know, just an endless combination. It's just never going to end. Anybody else for question two? Number three, what in your view does the central character John Murdoch represent? Dawn?
I feel like John Murdoch represents the awakening process. He goes from not knowing what's going on to he's one of the first ones who starts to see little clues that something's not right. He's the one who figures out, hey, wait a minute, it's dark all the time. And little by little, it's like there's a certain awakening that's happening where he's noticing something's not right. And when he comes into his powers, where he realizes, you know, I feel like that's also when we realize we don't have to succumb to the beliefs in our mind anymore, that we've actually had power all along. And we're misusing our power by believing thoughts that aren't true. That's how him, with his mental powers and overcoming the guys in the trench coats, is how we overcome the ego, how we overcome the mind that is fraught in darkness or in that unawakened state, is that we that is the power. The ultimate power is realizing what we and who, whatever we truly are. And that's the coolest part I liked in the movie, is where he was like, you know, he came into his own with his mental power. So letting go.
Yeah, that's a really cool insight, Don. You just spawned this really cool connection I just made from listening to you. But I'll wait until anyone else wants to share. That's really cool, Don. Thank you. Cheryl. Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, the one thing, I mean, Don, that was amazing how you described his character and what he represented. The only thing I want to add to is that, you know, because of his wandering and questioning, searching for that meaning, he also, in the beginning, he felt like a victim of circumstances. And, you know, I can relate to that part of him, his character, with, you know, before I really started to question deep, true, you know, meaning, like, what is the meaning of life and what is this all about? I came from that victim of circumstance. I came from, okay, you know, so, you know, I was looking outside of me to blame everybody about what was going on. And so that was the part I identified with John Murdock's character. Letting go of the mic.
I just wanted to say that I see him as a seeker, that he was questioning everything, but he knew something. He knew his character, and he knew he wasn't a murderer. He said, I am not a murderer. So he knows who he truly is, down deep. And then the powers came. Letting go.
Yeah, that's true. You're right, Lynn. He was the prime suspect in the serial murder case, and he had to clear his name. And that goes to Dawn's point where he's the desire to awaken, which is basically the same thing I put. I mean, I put the intention to awaken is what he represents. What happens when we want to start awakening, right? The ego throws attacks at us, right? The ego, like, what is that in The Course in Miracles? Suspicious to vicious, you know, like, it just, like, all these things the ego tries to throw in our way takes from awakening. I'm going to switch over to Manuela. She's got some huge insights here. John Murdock is the audience's viewer's perspective. He is made up of many characters and many stories. But I'm sorry. The insight I put together when I listened to Don, you know how that in the whole theme, the imprints, you know, where they would stick the needle, and that's got to freaking hurt, right? We rejected the imprint. When we awaken, we reject the imprint of our experiences, stopping to believe them. We stop believing our thoughts, and that is rejecting the imprint. Huge insight. Okay. John Murdock is the audience's viewer's perspective. He is made up of many characters and many stories, but the main storyline we follow is that he wakes up during a tuning episode and becomes no longer under the spell of the ego god. Before he wakes up, he has a distorted view of love and life and is seeking revenge on his love for his wife by killing prostitutes. When he wakes up, he doesn't know that he was a killer. In fact, he doesn't know who he is. Oh, that's right. Without his memory, he is inherently good, as symbolized by saving the fish's life. He is completely confused by his awakening, but he has clues to start with and is always guided by inner wisdom. He was able to test his urge to kill, but choose to go back to a postcard of Shell Beach. He starts a search to understand who he is. The character is divided into five other characters symbolizes accompany him on his journey towards home. Now, just to let you know, Manuela in her daytime job deals with, I think, writing and scripts. So she's understands stories and script. This is really insightful what she's got here. His wife, Emma Anna, who firstly represented worldly love as a sultry and sexy, but later evolves into divine love. She is the first to Shell Beach, and as divine love, she even knows how to catch a direct bus there, the direct path. She, as pure love, is waiting for John in a very neutral, unmodified way. And Anna, by the way, is spelled the same forward and backwards. As she transforms the worldly love into divine love, she is the only one to believe John, and later John completely forgives the worldly love and sees past it to pure love. The second character that is in the character of John Murdock is the detective Eddie Walensek, who has gone mad. And this is what you were asking about, Shauna. He went so far into thinking and searching and saw things that he could understand and went mad. His conclusion was there's no way out. He was a delusional character symbol. He sought freedom by death of the body, still believing the body-mind separate self. He couldn't handle the knowledge that the world was an illusion and the workings of the ego mechanism. He obsessed with the spiral symbol going round and round in circles. 3, the Inspector Frank Bumstead, he was the intellectual part of the character, whom no one ever listens to. According to the doctor, he is a fastidious man, driven, consumed by details of the lonely life. He was useful to a point, and logic served him well, but the intellect cannot go beyond the mind. He always had to die. The intellect cannot go to Shell Beach, to the absolute. As the intellect, he was a useful tool, and he did recognize John's wife as love. He also recognized the direct path and what he had to do. He helped John by killing off the strangers in coats, allowing John to make it to Shell Beach. He was like the seeker of truth. My goodness, she needs to write her own films. The doctor character, Dr. Daniel Schreiber, was a curious character. A bit of this, a bit of that. He changes to the situation. He is like good and bad. He was like the I am consciousness, the doorway to both sides as he holds the wisdom that releases John. But he was also like the ego analyzer person and so scared of dying. In this sense, he was Sattvic. He says his business is judging personalities. He understands the human mind better than anyone else. He is a scientist and an artist archetype. He first appears in the opening lines to set the stage of the story to unfold. He carries guilt of betrayal and believes to be a man. He knew the play and the whole workings of the world mechanism. He had no personal memory stories himself, and his memories were wiped out by the strangers in coats. Yet they kept him as a useful tool, and being able to function in both the darkness world and the city dwellers in trances and in the strangers world. He was awake to the ego world, but he was part of the tuning process too. He is later is the critical part, John Timber Shell Beach, the light. The doctor instructs John on how to use power to defeat the strangers in coat's power. John came from awakening and was no match for the ego strangers in coats. The doctor, who had the answer within him always and inserted it into John as knowledge wisdom. However, the doctor was petrified of Shell Beach. He was scared of dissolving, and he didn't cross over to Shell Beach. In the last one, she indicated that aspect of John that's represented is Uncle Carl Harris. He is a relative from a life story, but the memories are all distorted. John finds him last because first he has to go to search elsewhere, and the search and clues lead to this uncle. The uncle is like a Sattvic person, and he is helpful to John's dispelling the illusion. The uncle was there to help and was symbolized as coming from the underworld, Neptune's underworld, but he was still stuck in the world of darkness, the subconscious. So that was her 5-part insight. Yeah, I'd call that some pretty deep insight. My goodness. Does anyone want to respond to what Manuela shared with us? Or any other thoughts they want to share about what they think John Murdoch represents? Okay, lots of insight there. Number 4, the stranger's main method of experimentation was manipulating and implanting memories and changing physical buildings and structures, which is called tuning. What was the changing of memories intended to produce, and what does the tuning symbolize? Does anyone want to share? Manuela's answers have silenced everyone. Anyone? Anyone? Okay, Shauna, George.
For me, it's the changing of the memories showed to me how much down their memory to tell them who they were. And then changing the building symbolized when things outside, we think things outside of us need to change, and it reflects the memories we have chosen to identify with.
Beautiful. Thank you, Shauna. Yeah, awesome. George.
Okay. The Trenchcoat guys somehow thought that there was some essence that, and if they could observe the same person in different scenarios, they felt that they could distill that essence and understand the human being, what made them human.
What is that essence, George? What do you think about that?
Well, the essence is that spark of divinity, which was really what they were searching for. They were searching for the meaning of life and a way to extend their own life into immortality. And they had a vague notion of what it might be, and yet to me that's what they were searching for. They were looking for that key element that was part of everyone that had a body there. That spark, which just totally evaded them and their ability to understand. That's it.
Anyone else? Thank you, George. My thought was they were all these different combinations what I thought it symbolized was our attempt to have all these different experiences to be happy. We think that the right imprint of experience is going to be the ticket for us to be really happy and to find the answer to life. And of course, that's impossible. And there's no way these parasite dudes in dark trench coats are ever going to find it that way, which ultimately was what came out of it. So that to me is what the tuning symbolizes, kind of like what Shauna was saying, the rearrangement of our physical situations and circumstances to artificially try to stay in the projection and make ourselves happy. Manuela shares, memories are objects and experiences. They help us maintain the separate self and ego mechanism. Through their layering of storylines, memories keep the focus of attention outwards and into the stories. They act as a concealing and distracting agent. Most of the city dwellers had no questions believing them and were ultimately controlled by believing the thoughts and continuing continuity the memories produced. And as Eshwar mentioned the other day, there really is no continuity. It's the illusion of continuity. The changing of structures was pure illusion and went hand in hand with the new storylines produced by the new memories. For example, the working class couple with their humble, simple home changed into a mansion when imprinted with the new upper class memories. John's wife also was imprinted with new memories that she wasn't John's wife anymore, but she didn't forget the divine love from her previous memory life. She carried that pure love over. It was not affected by the ego mechanism at all. Through the changing of memories, the strangers wanted to find out what made humans individual and where the soul came from. This was completely misguided thinking, and John only needed the inner calling and to follow the intense desire for truth to return to the source, Shell Beach. Number five. Go ahead, George.
Just one other thought. These guys, the trench coat guys, kind of remind me of the Borg.
That's a good thought. Yeah.
Accumulating all of this knowledge, all of this technology. For what purpose? They don't really know. Just knowledge for knowledge's sake.
Mm. Yeah, that's true, George. Thank you. Yeah. Number five, train theme. It seems like a catch 22. You have to take the express train to get to the end of the line to find Shell Beach, but the problem is the express train doesn't stop at any station, so there doesn't seem to be any way to get on the train. Does a spiritual parallel come to mind? Catch 22, that darn Shell Beach train, Dawn.
It's the age old trying to look outside yourself for truth. You have to go where it seems as if the answer is not, even though the answer is there. So it's kind of like he's trying to get on a train. He can't seem to get on because he's trying to go somewhere. And it's that outgoing movement that seems to be problematic. So when we venture inward and just change the whole game, then we can get to Shell Beach, which symbolizes maybe truth, maybe happy dream, something like that. Okay, letting go.
Hey, welcome, Chad. Nice picture, by the way. Does anyone else want to share Catch 22 train theme? I had an insight. You cannot get on the path through following the ego's plan for salvation, which are the planned established stops, because the train doesn't stop there. The train doesn't stop at my pre-planned ego plan for salvation stops. If I keep trying to achieve in the world, these are my train stations. I'm not going to be able to get on the train there if I stop at those stations. The spiritual train will be inaccessible to me if I keep trying to follow the ego's plan for salvation. That was my insight. Manuela has a short paragraph here. Bless you, Cheryl. The express train is like the direct path in spirituality. The direct path appears as a miracle in the world to the earnest seeker. It means nothing to the average person. In fact, it just doesn't exist or enter their minds at all. The direct path doesn't come from the human at all. It comes from beyond the mind, beyond intellect. It comes as relevant truth pointing only toward truth. You can't get on it until your mind is qualified truth, same as the express train. Anyone else want to throw in their thoughts on number five with the train? Okay, number six. What does Shell teach? The place no one can either remember about or know how to get to symbolize. Hopefully everyone can answer this, I hope. Anyone want to answer? Donna.
It's heaven or our source or the self. And when we're identified as a body, mind, personality, we've chosen to forget how to get home. And that's why I just was talking about is the choice to forget where we came from. That's it.
Thank you. I had a really simple insight, which was, it's the forgotten truth of the self, and the shell is the symbol to live as an empty shell for God. This is the whole symbol of the shell. And if you'll notice, well, it's a later question. Number seven, the policeman character John Bumstead, played by William Hurt, who doesn't know the truth about the city, says it's real, is the point person to solve the mysterious serial murder case. What, in your view, does his character and the case represent? Well, we already heard from Manuela that what he represents. Does anyone want to else share an insight of what they think the Bumstead represents? Dawn.
I feel like he represents the part of the I know mind, the part of the mind that's always trying to figure things out, but it's still in delusion. Like, it thinks it knows, but the more it thinks it knows, it actually knows even less. That's why a key component in the journey is coming to the I don't know mind, because you're empty of the concepts. So he represents the opposite of the I don't know mind. So he's that cluttered, I got to figure this out, he was still in darkness. He had no clue. So
you're saying like he's the represents the part of self like, oh, there's got to be a rational explanation.
Yes.
Like, yeah, yes. Like that.
Yeah. It's cool. Still trying to figure it out in the, via the world system, the world's way. Okay, letting go.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else have anything different or anything to add? Okay, I wrote down trying to find truth while still being identified with the body and the physical. unwilling to let go of old ideas, which is the same thing that Don said. 8, the doctor character, Daniel Schreiber, played by Kiefer Sutherland, given his role and eventual betrayal of the strangers, what does he symbolize? And we already read what Daniela wants to share. George.
I think in one sense, he symbolizes the desire of ego for survival at any cost. He's really a vicious, vicious character because he was willingly participating in these horrible experiments to his fellow human beings. That's it.
Yeah, he was like the evil experimenting doctor. What I wrote is he represents the creative imagination that until it gets activated toward awakening is being used to keep the old patterns going, because what he was doing was imprinting people with memories. So that's our mechanism of continuing to imprint ourselves with memories, thinking that that's going to find us truth. But once he had one syringe where he implanted John Murdoch with an awakening imprint that gave him complete awakening. So I took that as, even though they're memories, I took it as the symbol of, like, you know how Regina talks about, well, you can, a vision plan that, I don't know if I'm understanding that correctly from your class, Jacqueline, but basically we're wanting and imagining awakening, right? In whatever way you're doing that. So you're getting the creative action of the mind moving in a whole different direction, which is to awakening. So you're imprinting to that. So you're nodding your head. So I think I'm on the right track with that. So number 9, John Murdoch gained incredible powers and eventually led to a showdown with Mr. Book.
Don, there, stand up.
Thank you. Don, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one more thing about that character. He kind of, for me, he's playing both sides. So he represents this part in our spiritual journey where it's the split mind. If you notice in the course, it goes back and forth. And when it calls you, sometimes it's talking about the ego you. And sometimes in the course, it's talking about the spirit that you are. So he literally is playing both the ego role by, you know, actually doing the betrayal, because that literally is the ego. And then he, like you said, he implants that. He eventually is what helps John Murdoch awaken. So he literally is playing both sides on the fence. So it's the split mind. He represents the split mind. But playing, it's like that. It's like the part in the journey where you're, am I really ego? Am I not? Am I spirit? And then you hear both the voices, the voice of the ego with all this ranting and raving. And then you actually hear the Holy Spirit. So for a time, it seems like you're hearing both. So yeah, that's what he represents for me.
That's a really good point, Don. Yeah. Go ahead, Sharma.
Thanks. I wanted to add one more thing about his character, too, is it seemed like to me he had a really strong I am bad belief, and the strangers gave him the ego, attacked his weakest spot by giving him the chance to play God and be able to change people's lives in that way. And then all of a sudden something brought him to, oh, my God, I see what I've done, and his good part came out, and that's when he was able to give John the awakening imprint.
Yeah, that's a good point, Charlie. Like he was activated somehow. The confrontation. Oh, that's right. Because after he was confronted with John Murdoch and realized, oh my gosh, you can actually tune. You have their power. He saw like hope that we could actually awaken. So it's like what Don said, like playing both sides. But then he converted over. But in the end, I think. Because of what Manuela's point was, is he couldn't accept the light. He wouldn't go to Shell Beach. You know what I'm saying? Yes, he was helpful. But Don's point, which was like, he didn't go to Shell Beach. He didn't go there. He just, you know, he's like, you know, indecisive. Like he wasn't really committed to, helpful, but not committed, you know, so something like that. Okay, so number 9, John Murdoch gained incredible powers and eventually led to a showdown with Mr. Book, the head stranger. What do these various main symbols represent in your view? And Manuela doesn't have any more answers on the particular thread there. Does anyone else want to answer and share any of those questions? In the scene of the showdown, the large face that opens with a clock behind it, I put as the answer, time. The memory is the only thing behind creating the illusion of continuity in our identity as a person. And that's why the face of the identity opened to a clock. The only thing keeping our identity, what stands behind our identity, is the illusion of memory or time as a continuity. B, the fact that the head stranger was named Mr. Book. I actually like Mendel's answer better. I just put information and memory only, but she put about how they're all objects. They're you know, physical things. In the scene, Mr. Book says, shut it down forever. What does this, in your view, symbolize? What I put is like a time comes when the mind does try to stop manipulating outcomes eventually and accepts awakening at some point. Okay, this is going to happen. The mind eventually has some sort of cooperation, and it may not really mean that, but that's kind of what I got from that. The exploding water tank and the releasing of the ocean waters. Oh, Don, did you raise your hand? Go ahead.
Water tank.
Yeah.
For them, they didn't like water, so that's like the ultimate fear for them. And one of the things on the journey is you really have to seemingly face your fears. The very thing that you don't want to acknowledge, or maybe you've buried deep inside, it's, you have to let it come up. So the exploding could symbolize whatever fear is inside needing to come to the surface. And that for him was part of what created in the very end Shell Beach. So the very thing that was your fear ends up being your happy dream in the end, because it gets transformed. And okay, letting go.
Yeah, definitely. I put, because water historically symbolizes spirituality or spiritual awareness, I put it as an explosion or birth of your new spiritual consciousness when the ego has died its final death. The parasite creature that came out of Mr. Book's head that seemed to writhe and disintegrate immediately upon the host body dying. And just anybody can cut in. Without a host mind, the thought of separation cannot exist separately as a parasite. So this thought, which I think the thought of separation, which is what the parasite represents, cannot exist outside of a mind. There has to be a host mind that's willing to give energy to the thought of separation. As soon as that host mind dies, the thought just gives way and dies, you know? And no, I'm not going to repeat that sound. Okay, 10, repeatedly, the movie mentions that Murdoch has survived the fire in his implanted memories. Does this have a symbolic meaning in your view? Cheryl.
I'm going to go back to the other symbols that stuck out for me. So one of the things that definitely stuck out were was that John, he had no memory, what seemed, you know, like he just couldn't remember anything. But memories are lies. And that John is discovering what is real and what is not real. And he was discovering lies about his life, himself, and what may have occurred. And in general, that's kind of what stuck out for me in the movie. Letting go.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. So in number 10, I answered. Oh, go ahead. Anybody else? Chime in.
Lynn, yeah. I just wanted to say that it was like getting the, when he broke down the wall, it was like emotional, like clarity. And that this is, it also represented freedom, freedom behind the wall, which led him to the water, which reminded me of the Truman Show. I mean, it's like all the movies together. Yeah, but freedom.
Beautiful, thank you. Yeah, freedom. That's awesome. Number 10, that's talking about survive the fire. To me, that is the path of awakening always involves a process of purification, the fire of purification. Because in his implanted memory, which led him to awakening, there was a fire in that memory. And when you awaken, you must go through the fire of purification. So I think the Holy Spirit was touching the mind of the writer of this movie. In the end, John Murdoch had to create Shell Beach because the whole myth of Shell Beach was a lie in that dark world. It didn't really exist. He had to create the oceans in the daytime because they didn't exist either. What does this symbolize to you? Does this reference, does the reference to Shell and the name mean anything to you? What I put was the start of waking up. Light comes into the mind where it could not be seen before. We don't see light in our minds until we just can't see it when we're in darkness, when we're in the belief of separation. We don't know reality. We're in the walls of the mind. And if you notice, Shell Beach was outside of the walls of the mind. There was a door, and he created this massive ocean outside the realm of the mind. So that has to be something beyond mind. And that little beach extended outside of mind. And the guy that confronted Murdoch, his name was Mr. Hand. He says, I am dying, John. It seems that your imprint is not compatible with my kind. John also says, you went looking in the wrong place, man. What does that interchange with Mr. Hand symbolize in your view? Or is that self-explanatory? Or is this over-discussing something that's not? Or did the very question I write already answer the question? Okay, all right, we'll skip to the next one. In the very end, John Murdoch seemed to restore the entire city to normal and then walk in the daylight to find his true love. What does this symbolize to you? Anybody? Hey, Craig. Hey, brother.
I like the answer about the lighthouse.
Yeah, cool. Okay, talk about the lighthouse.
It's an ultimate extension of the light because when you see the final scene, it's this floating city in vast open space. Well, okay, well, think about what a lighthouse does. It alerts others, so it's a beam to alert them. Hey, we're over here. But it's expansion. Because there's got to be something out there other than that little city just enclosed that he built with the water around it. So I feel like it's ultimate expansion. Can't let him go.
Yes, that there's more than just our little closed-in world of the mind that exists. There's a reality that's beyond that, that extends, like you said, out into infinity.
Yeah, because even in that, he used his mind powers almost like he became godlike. But you could see it's still enclosed. It's like this little city, but there was more. There was more to uncover or discover or expand into.
To me, the big message there, thank you. The big message is once he gained his power and defeated the evil machines of the ego, all he wanted to do was connect with his true love. So what do we want to do when we let go of our false beliefs in mind is we want to connect in that love and heart. We want, that's all we want. That becomes our number one goal. What's the first thing John did? What will you do now, John? The doctor asked him. Going to Shell Beach. I'm going to find, you know, I'm going to find Anna there. So I like this movie. Not everyone did. This is our movie discussion group, Craig, that we have once a month, just to let you know. It was Dark City, a very happy, upbeat movie that we watched. No, it was kind of a symbolic movie about moving from darkness to light. And I don't know if you've seen the movie or not, Craig, but that's what we were talking about for the last hour. So any closing comments? We have a few minutes left, or we can just turn it over to Craig early. Dawn, please.
Only that Anna, obviously, forwards and backwards, it's the same. So the beginning is the end, and her name really represents, because she's that symbol of divine love, that is where we all began, thus the beginning. And when this awakening completes itself, that is the ending. So the two meet. The beginning is the end. The end is the beginning. So she represents full circle, him coming back to true love, divine love, wholeness.
Yeah, Isaiah 55 in the Bible, in joy you shall depart, and in peace you shall return. Yeah, beautiful. Cheryl, I'm going to announce next month's movie. Why don't I do that real quick before we run out of time? Next month's movie is The Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon. I forgot who the female lead character is, the name. She's played in a lot of things. It's more of a romance. It's not exactly a dark sci-fi thriller. So I won't put anyone through that again. But Jacqueline goes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome. So this is a romance. It's, you know, much more positive film, and contains lots of great messages and meanings. And I really look forward to hearing what you all think. I've got the play sheet already created, and I will make a post in the coming days. So awesome to see the Connie and Jacqueline team there sitting on the couch. And everybody, thank you, Tony, for being here, and Dawn for hosting, and everybody, George, and everybody, and Sean, everybody's comments. Cheryl, really a fun group. Adjustment Bureau, Emily Blunt, yes. Thank you, Sean and Matt Damon. So, signing off, back to you, Dawn.